Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, it is almost time for week number two as the Purdue Boilermakers look to double their amount of wins from last year after their shutout victory over Ball State. They now go under the lights at Ross-Ade for a 7:30 p.m. kick against Southern Illinois. And we'll get into Southern Illinois a little bit, but I think, Sim, we kind of talked about it a little bit off air, but like I think you're in agreement. The biggest question mark that we both kind of have is like, what kind of Purdue team are we going to see now week two after, you know, last year? I think we all kind of got super hype after week one, and then we all know what happened like the rest of the season. So I think as fans, we kind of have a little PTSD maybe from last year.
Little.
But like it feels different, but now are we gonna see results that are different as well?
I think that's what everyone is kind of we're all, like you said, we were talking about this offline about like, this is going to be the first time we get to ask this Purdue team, how do you handle success? And while I think it was, everyone had a case of the warm and fuzzies last week because we won and it had been a long time since we had won. It's like, okay, well, we don't just want to stop there. We want to continue to get better. And I think even I know Coach Odom and the players have talked about since Saturday about like just knowing the areas that they can be better in versus, from last week. And so you just want to see that type of mentality and oh no, and then on Saturday actually see like, okay, yeah, they're continuing to take strides in the right direction, continue to build off of what they did week in and week out, week after week. You want to continue to try to improve to get to playing to like your best version of yourself. Because especially as the season gets on, you want to have a standard of playing that isn't necessarily reflective of week one, but just kind of like, no, we've been continuing to work on this as because we believe that we can play better than this, and that's kind of what we want our baseline to be. So yeah, I just I think, yeah, I think, you and I, like you said, we were talking about it off air. I think that we're kind of all in the same boat here of like, we just all want to see us build off of what we did last week. And we want to see, yeah, we want to see us build it off of last week and continue to, and then obviously, yeah, hope to double the win total from last year.
And you know, there's a lot of, I wouldn't call crazy stats, but like stats that you kind of have to read a couple of times before it really sinks in. And this one is at the top of the list that with a win, Barry Odom would be the first Purdue coach to start his tenure 2-0 since Cleo O'Donnell in 1916. Like, that's just wild to me. Let alone a win would be the first time that Purdue started the year 2-0 since 2021. That in itself is kind of a little crazy to me. But the first time since 1916, I don't know about you, Sim, but when I read that, I was like, "Ain't no way that's true." And then I saw other people. You know, it started to really take off on Twitter, and I was like, "Holy crap, that is a long time ago."
Yeah, no, I was with you. I didn't believe it when I first saw it. I was like, man, that's got to be a typo or something. And then I started thinking back just in my like in my head for just, recency. And it was like, no, that actually hasn't been the case. So, yeah, that would be a nice thing to kind of a nice streak to snap for sure. Outside of the fact that we just love winning around here, 'cause why lose when you could win? But yeah, that's wild to me, man. That's just a crazy, crazy stat for Purdue. And especially like when you think about from an overall standpoint, we've been, it's been historically at least not like a terrible fucking football program. So you would have thought that there would have been one coach who came along and was able to rack up a couple wins, to start out. But, here we are. So hopefully Odom's
My
the
only
is the lucky
guess
charm.
is that starting off, a lot of teams maybe played Notre Dame early on or something. I don't know. But yeah, just to not have a team start off 2-0 in your first year since night, I would have thought like Coach Tiller or even Brohm. But I mean, I guess they didn't even win. Brom didn't even win his first game. So,
Let's say, yeah, lost Louisville.
yeah, just a crazy stat overall. But yeah, back to kind of like what kind of team we are expecting to see game two. I think one thing that I think will really help this team is the environment that we're going to have Saturday night under the lights. I don't know about you, Sim, but I would kind of almost feel more worried if it was like a noon kickoff, and the team might come out a little flat. But for whatever reason, with it being like a night game with the type of environment I'm anticipating Rossay to be like, I feel like that's going to kind of help the team, come out energized.
Yeah, no, I like you said, I think there's an anticipation of just like the first game of the year. So it really didn't matter what time it was at. But we've talked here on this here pod for the better part of the last year about how there is something about a night game at Ross Aid, and it presents its own challenge in terms of how you prepare and just the electricity that'll be in the air. I think it's another reason why the players have to get excited to be really juiced up for the game, because yeah, I mean, it's under the lights. It's just like everyone's gonna be, I think, like the atmosphere, the crowd is gonna be fucking electric, and you want to make sure that in prime time that you're putting on the same show that you put on at noon last week. You want to be putting you don't want to you want people to turn to tune in later into their day after they've done whatever it was, and then all of a sudden see a flat Purdue team. You want to come out and you want to put on a show when there's possibly more eyeballs who are watching, so that way they know that, yeah, this Purdue team is not like last year's Purdue team.
I agree with you. And hopefully we can get it to a sellout that night. I would expect it to be pretty close, if not a sellout, by the time we roll around to Saturday. But should be regardless a pretty cool atmosphere. Like we said, a 7:30 p.m. kick. It'll be on Big Ten Network. Jack Kaiser will have the play-by-play. Jared Thomas will be the analyst, and Melanie Ricks will be on the sideline for BTN. Interestingly enough, Purdue has only played Southern Illinois one time prior. It was back in 2014. They defeated Southern Illinois 35-13. Looking at this team though, Sim, and talking about Southern Illinois, and I know everybody's just gonna look at it and say like, oh, they're a FCS school. We should, it's
Should beat the
gonna
shit out of them.
they're a good team. They come in ranked number 15 in FCS, so it's not like it's a bottom of the barrel squad. And they got some dudes that can play, primarily led by quarterback DJ Williams, who will be another dual threat quarterback. But like, this isn't gonna be just like a show up and you're gonna win type of game.
Yeah, no, they're gonna have to win this game. Like you said, the Southern Illinois is ranked 15th in the FCS standings, which may not seem like a lot, but it to I mean to me it does. It mean and I think something we were talking about offline. I think the difference between the Southern Illinois team and Ball State is that Ball State was kind of much like us, where they had a new coach, they had a bunch of new players. So in terms of building that culture and having an identity, they didn't necessarily have that in place the way that Southern Illinois does. Southern Illinois' coach, based on his name, Nick Hill, this is 10th season there. So in terms of the stability and having established a culture, and they had a few rough years, and just as recently, I think it's 2022, they beat Northwestern. So this is a program that has kind of has been able to find its footing, and if you go if they if you do come out half stepping, they will beat you. As I as just alluding back to that Northwestern game. So like you said, DJ Williams, who's a dual threat quarterback in his own right, is probably a better pass than what we faced last week. And that's kind of where too I look at it, and just kind of like spoiler alert, when I look at the defense, I'm thinking about Obviously the D line being able to get pressure, and the like obviously and then excuse me then so and then tackling, that's going to be of the utmost. But this Southern Illinois team is not one to overlook, and I think it's a good second game for Purdue, because while while last week might have given you the warm and fuzzies, this is an opportunity where if you are able to kind of improve on some of the things that you struggled with last week, the game will look easier. But that'll be because obviously better competition w brings out a higher level of execution on your behalf, of like in order to win. So yeah, anyone who's kind of looking at this and being like, oh yeah, we should just crush them because, it's a directional school, I would pump the brakes on that for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good call out. Just like 10 years at the same program, that consistency makes a huge difference. And like you saw it in parts with the Ball State team, like they just kind of seemed out of sync. And I would imagine you're not going to have that as much this weekend. It may sound weird to say for them being an FCS school, but I think this is a really good test. You got some good players on their team. Like you've got a wide receiver in Vincent Davis, who is a name to watch, who last week had five catches for 89 yards. He's got over 1,000 yards receiving in his career at Southern Illinois. Like he's going to cause some issues for the DBs. Like we talked about DJ Williams, the quarterback, another dual threat. Like last week, he was 17 of 24 for 227 yards and three scores. So, I mean, he can play. And to your point, you're going to have to tackle better. You're going to have to, have more discipline, as far as like knowing who you got. Do you got the running back? Do you have the QB, like knowing that kind of stuff, like it's gonna be a really good test, which I know sounds weird because it's an FCS school, but like we said, like they've got some dudes who can ball.
No, I think too. I think I'd read that that DJ Williams last week that he hit, I think, seven different receivers who got who at least who had at least two receptions. So yeah, and he's a guy too, just like what Ryan Brown did last week, where he's spreading the ball around. So you're gonna have your hands full in terms of your execution, and so it's gonna be a again that's just another opportunity to see. It's just going to be an opportunity for this Purdue team to show us, especially and obviously we're talking more so about the defense now, but it's gonna be an opportunity for the defense to show us, hey, look, have we keyed in on some of the areas that we weren't so good in last week, and what are we gonna do about we're gonna fix them, and there's no better way that you can say, yeah, we're gonna work on it. But obviously Saturday night is the test. It's when, okay, well, are you, and yeah, like DJ Williams presents a handful of issues himself, but not only being able to throw the ball but being a good runner as well. So yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a strong test for Purdue. And like you said, like each game getting progressively more challenging, I think, is good for this team, because it forces them to have to find out, like, okay, well, how much more do we have? How much more, because I think on our own right, we're chasing perfection in terms of playing that perfect football game in all facets. But again, like last week we were talking about complimentary football. You're going to need it again this week, and even more so than what you needed it last week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And let's stay with the defense. And Sim, I know kind of your big thing after the game and kind of this week, and to your credit, it was one of the first things that Coach Odom brought up this week in his presser was how they need to be better defensively as a whole, tackling wise. My thing is I want to see him generate some turnovers, man. Like you're not going to be able to win a lot of games if you don't generate some turnovers. And that's down the road, like when you play USC, when you play Rutgers, when you play, some of the Big Ten teams, you're going to have to be able to flip the field like that. And I'd like to see him kind of get off to a start and generate some, whether it be like from some pressure where you've or some, or if your DBs can make some plays, but like It was it, and it could just be like a carryover from last year, whereas one of the things that we just wanted to see the defense do, and they just frankly weren't very good at it. And I know this is a brand new unit this year, but they come out week one and they don't turn the ball, they don't generate any turnovers. So for me, the defensive unit as a whole, I'd like to see him generate a couple of turnovers on the Saturday night.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. Because yeah, that's something we that was a very glaring issue last year. I think we can look at the 'cause you think about too, like being able to turn a team over, like turn like, you know, to get turnovers, it helps your offense in the events that like if your offense is starting out slow and, you know, I hate to reference this game again, but like the Illinois game last year, your offense starts off slow, you get behind. And you know the offense starts clicking, but nonetheless, you need to be able to kind of steal a possession. And how do you steal a possession? Obviously, if your defense is able to generate a turnover, that goes, you know, that and in that case, I'm thinking of, you know, the sack strip that we got, you know, that was returned back for a touchdown. But like plays like that, you know, getting pressure to the quarterback and call, you know, getting the ball loose. I'd say that's the stuff that's kind of able to get you another, you know, to win you back up to help you steal a possession. And so yeah, that is something you'd like to see. Now, just to know that we can do it, if anything else, like that, as you play some of these better teams, like they're not going to give you as many opportunities, you know, like so you're not going to have, you know, sometimes you'll play a team, they have a quarterback, and you're like, oh, you know, he's going to throw us a couple, you know, so you're going to have a couple opportunities, or a guy who you know just isn't really secure with the football, you know, okay, there's a good chance it's going to find its way on the ground. When you play good teams, those. Don't t like you don't typically they don't typically have, you know, guys on the offense who are doing that. So you know, that perform like your defense being able to generate that when that's like so if that's the line imposing more of their will and controlling it to where they're able to get more pressure and yeah, we're getting and the sacks are turning into fumbles, or like you said, you know, if that pressure is causing the quarterback to get the ball out sooner than he wants to, then our defense is able to make a play, you know, the secondary is able to make a play on it. You just like to see a couple turnovers. I think that's something that's good for the defense in terms of that morale of understanding, like, yep, look, we take the ball away as well. Like, we not only will cut off your water, but we'll take the ball away from you as well. But I think that bodes well for us in the long term in terms of, like, again, like playing that complementary football. But also, I think of just like this defense becoming what we think it can be. Yeah, you're gonna, like you said, you're just. It's hard. You're hard pressed to win games if you're not able to force turnovers. And while again, this game is not going to be easy, it will probably be easier than some of the other games you have down the road. And like you said, you're not going to beat the USC's, the Rutgers, the Michigans, the Ohio States, or you're not going to beat those teams without being able to get a turnover or two. It's just kind of the reality of it.
Yeah, and it almost just feels like once you get one, that the floodgates are just gonna open, and you're gonna get like a bunch of turnovers. It's almost like just getting over the hump,
Right.
and just getting one. So yeah, it'll be. I think we're in agreement. Those are the two big things that we want to see this week from the defense is one, can you tackle better? And two, are you able to generate hopefully a couple of turnovers there? But Sim, let's switch gears to the offense because, it's hard to really be too upset with how Ryan Brown played last week. And I'm sure him watching the North Carolina game on Monday, he's probably really happy he made the decision to come back to West Lafayette versus playing for that dumpster fire. But for Ryan specifically, like, what are you kind of looking for in a game from him? He's coming off of a career high 311 passing yards, only dude in the Big Ten to throw for over 300 yards. I don't know if we're necessarily going to like expect that this week, but like, what are you looking to see him kind of carry over from week one?
Well, first off, that North Carolina game kind of gave me some PTSD in the worst way, just because of how they looked versus the team I watched last year. But we won't get into that. But for Ryan Brown, what I'm looking for is just him too, just to kind of, I guess, I don't know. I it's like to I want to say to do what he did last week, not from a number not from a number standpoint at least. I'd like to see him do what he did last week, just in the sense of like hitting open guys, making the throws, you know, using his feet to whether it's to run and get yards, get down because you want to avoid the unnecessary hit, or you know, using his feet to be able to buy more time as he scrambles out the pocket to be able to find guys downfield, and just controlling, like, you know, controlling the game, managing the offense, and moving us along, and then also, of course, you know, taking care of the football. You just want to see. I don't think that it needs to be a thing where Ryan Brown has to put on a Superman cape and go out and win the game for us, but he cannot be charitable with the football, and he can't be missing some of the like, you know, some of the shorter to intermediate throws. I think those are the things that he has to make sure that he's doing. I think too, I something I guess just being nitpicky, I felt like some of the passes he had last week, they were floating a bit. And I feel like, again, as your competition gets better, being able to float a ball like in between like two defenders or something like that, like that's not going to necessarily be the case. So I would kind of like to see maybe a little bit more zip on certain throws. But again, that's just me kind of being nitpicky, just thinking kind of more down the road. But yeah, it's not so much of him. I need him to you know, to replicate what he did. That's the word I was looking for. It's not that I need for him to replicate what he did last week, numbers wise. I just think in terms of the way that he managed the game and the way he played the game, I'd like to see that again. Because if he's able to do that again against a better, you know, a seemingly better opponent, that again, that continues to give you more confidence in that, like, okay, like he really is capable of playing this winning brand of football. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that shows up on the stat sheet, but if you watch it, it passes the eye test. You see him doing the things that you're asking, you know, of your core of your QB1.
No, I agree. And it would just be, maybe they won't get off to the same start that they did last week, where they scored in the first three plays there. Interestingly enough, another stat, which is just wild to me, is that they scored 14 points in the first quarter last week, which was more than the first quarter of every game combined last season when they scored 13 total points. Again, just another stat that you got to look at a few times and be like, God damn. But
So we drank so much
just them
last year.
getting off to another start like that, I think is going to be really big. But for me, with the offense kind of in general, is I'd like to just see them, sustain
Drives.
throughout the game. Like we talked about it a little bit off air, but they were up 21 nothing at halftime and then only scored 10 points in the second half. So, like how you said, kind of might be a little nitpicky with Ryan Brown kind of lofting some throws. This might be a little nitpicky as well. Just based off of what we've seen previously, but I'd like to see the offense kind of have more success in the second half. It kind of just felt like, and part of it may be a little human nature when you're up big and kind of dominating, but it felt like they kind of got a little lackadaisical in this second half. And so, if they are, which I think we're both gonna agree with, they're probably hopefully be, up by a couple of scores at halftime. I'd like to see him come out in the third and, really put like a stamp on the game there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the offense maintaining its intensity and just trying to, I guess, imposing its will for four quarters, or until the point where it's, you know, it's out of reach. So like if this is something where like all of a sudden we're up, you know, 52-3 after three, okay, yeah, that's fine.
I'd
Chill
be
out in
up
the
for that,
fourth.
please.
Right, I don't know exactly. I'm down for that. Please, let's be very clear with that. But yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, 10 points in the second half, but like you said, like sustaining drives, you know, I think this is too, and apologies if I'm stealing a point you're going to mention later, but I think that's where you kind of get into the run game. We look at that O-line, and if you're able to establish the run game, you can kind of bleed the clock and like slowly. I always look at like the run game as like body shots in boxing, where you know early on, you know, it doesn't seem like it's necessarily taking a toll, but then when you get into those late rounds, the body shots start to they start to tally up. And so I feel like the run game is kind of is the same way, where if you're able to establish the run early, you can really take a team's heart late, in the second, in the third and the fourth quarter, where when you're just sitting there, just all right, we're gonna hand it off to Maccabee, first down. Okay, nope, now we keep going, reset. And yeah, you want to see them maybe continue to put their foot on the throttle in the third quarter. And I imagine that's probably a conversation that they're having, that Purdue's having themselves about, like, guys, we can't expect to think that, scoring 10 points and a half against any team is gonna, like, for sure put a game away. That they're gonna need to do more in the second half to really, put a team away the right way. So I'm with you there in terms of just wanting to see more, just the offense kind of impose their will for more than just necessarily a half. And like you said, it feels nitpicky to say that when you just won 31-0. But like you said, when we get into the details and you realize, oh, it was only 10 in the second half, you're like, man, it would have been nice if we could have, 21-21 or something like that,
No, and so let's kind of go right into it because I know we each kind of have like one other guy on the offense outside of Ryan that we're kind of looking, that we're going to kind of focus in on. And for me, it's not specifically one guy, although I would really like to see Maccabee kind of get going, especially as a guy that like as a fan that wants to see him break the rushing record, he's got to get some yards early on. So I'd like to see him kind of have like a big day. But just the running game in general, I would just like to see get going. And that starts with the offensive line. And I know this was their first game. He had a lot of new guys out there. And even like during the game, you had to move guys around. Like I know in the first half, Ethan Trent was playing center for a little bit. So you had to work with, what you had there. But I would really like to see the running game get going, Maccabee get going, just as a whole kind of impose their will a little bit. And get some big chunk plays. Like to me, this feels like a game where you almost don't want to see Ryan Brown have 300 yards passing because you want to see more chunk plays in the run game, if that makes sense. And I'd like to see, them really kind of dominate on the ground this weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I mean, I'm not. I don't think. Well, I think we'll both agree, though. If Ryan Brown does throw for over 300 yards again,
Yeah,
then
like if he wants to.
okay, straight. Who cares? But like you said, the run game is something that is just. It's. It, I think it's just. It's important, I think, to the overall success because yeah, you might be able to throw on some of these on teams now, but again, you're gonna run into you don't want to be seen as kind of like one dimensional in the sense that hey, if we stop their passing game, we're good. And like you said, we're still trying. We're still figuring things out on that O line, in terms of the combinations and whatnot. And like you mentioned, if you have some injuries, obviously that throws a little wrinkle into it. But you would just like to see some progress from that unit because I think if you see progress from that unit, like you said, then the running game will benefit as a result. So I agree with you there. I for myself, I'd actually say. I think the obvious one for me is Armand Branch. I just want to see him again, much like I said with Ryan Brown. It's not so much necessarily statistically doing what he did last week, but is he as pre I just want to will he be as present as he was last week? So will he if it's I think he had 3 for like 1 for 3 for 100 some last week, but is it like this week? Is it going to be like
101.
he has well, how much was it?
101.
Okay, yeah, so 3 for 101, but this week is it going to be is it going to be 5 for 60? Something like that to where okay, yeah, he's a guy who I think who another guy who Brown can depend on, because I think Michael Jackson, I think he's just kind of gonna be a steady Eddie, like he's gonna be there, and but I think you have a second guy who you can go to. I think that just that bodes well, and then also, I would say I would be interested. I'm interested to see. If what we get like what we could get from the tight end group. We didn't really hear a lot from them last week, and there was a pretty notable drop that occurred, and but I just would like to see again like they're kind of an extension of the O line to an extent, And I know, but, in the preview episode, we were talking about the offense. That was a group where we were kind of like, yeah, you really didn't know what all you had. But again, this would be a time where I'd like to be able to see, is there a guy or two who, who kind of steps up and is able to make a few plays. So I would say, yeah, say that Armand Branch for sure. And then kind of my 1B would be the tight end group.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And like, to just kind of piggyback off what you said with Branch, like, even if you're not getting, a whole lot of reception yards, are you still taking those shots downfield with him just to kind of keep the defense honest?
Right.
He kind of seems like he's gonna be like your big play deep. Are the shots there? Are you taking those shots? Just to kind of keep those safeties and stuff back, which is only going to help, the rest of the offense there. So yeah, I'm with you. I would really like to kind of see, see if any kind of other wide receivers emerge, because you got Branch, you got Michael Jackson. Is there anybody else that kind of wants to step up, and make some plays there? There were
Yeah.
some a few opportunities that were missed last week, and so are those guys going to kind of step up a little bit? But we'll see. It'll be, like we said, just for the offense, for defense, for everybody, the staff, like. I think we're in agreement that it's kind of like, it's almost like last week where it's this nervous excitement where you're feeling pretty confident, but you just want to see them come out on the field and back up that excitement level and just see like, all right, how are they gonna respond now? Like, are they gonna build off of what they did last week, or are they going to take a step back? And I think we're both in agreement that they're going to build on it. But, we're just at the point where we're just ready to see it.
Right. No, you're right, man. It's at the end of the day, it's just how does this team, players, staff, coaches, how does this team handle success? Do they look at last week and they're like, all right, that's cool, but that's just one step in the journey of what we're trying to do? Or is it like, oh, cool, we won one, like I think this thing's gonna be okay, and then they relax. Everything that I've heard indicates that it'll be the former, that it's gonna be more of like a, all right, yeah, that was cool, but like we gotta get better because we want to do this again, but we want to do it better. So yeah, but like you said, it's a different type of like nervous anxiety, almost like a nervous anxiousness, because yeah, we so badly want it to be like okay, yeah, no, this team is gonna go out and they're gonna improve on what they did last week, but obviously we don't have that answer until till Saturday night.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Let's just throw a couple predictions out there. I think we're both in agreement that Purdue is going to come out 2-0. I think that the offense is going to score more points than they did last week, but I think that the defense is going to give up some points as well. I think the Southern Illinois offense is pretty legit, and will be a really good test for the defense. But I'm going to say 38-21 Purdue.
I was gonna say 38-20.
Are we
But
playing prices right here? You're just gonna go right under me just to see who gets, you want me to go over.
I mean, you're right. No, I agree with you. I think I don't foresee Purdue being able to shut him out. But I also think that, if we're clicking again on offense, I think we're going to be pretty hard to stop. And I think too that like I think there'll be improvements made in the second half in terms of like, hey, no, we need to continue to kind of put our foot on the th on the on their necks, which I think is kind of going to be a byproduct of the fact that I expect them to probably score. So like, you're going to kind of have to. There's still going to be a need to go out and kind of put the game out of reach. But yeah, I mean, I was yeah, like I said, I was thinking 38-20. So I just. For shits and gigs, I guess I'll just say it'll be 41-17. Purdue.
I think either way, if we're gonna finally have a coach be 2-0 to start their tenure in our lifetime and our parents' lifetime and a long freaking time.
Right.
So that's cool. And you
Regardless,
know,
just win. Just
it's
win.
just
Like
win.
this, that's really what it is. Predictions be damned. Just fucking win.
It's gonna be a really fun environment. Like, I'm super stoked to see. We talked about it last episode, how impressive it was for the fan base to come out week one after a 1-11 year and show out how they did. And I think it's even gonna be better this weekend. We said night game under the lights at Rossade. Just really excited to see the environment that is going to be out in West Lafayette this weekend. Again, it'll be a 7:30 p.m. kickoff. Big Ten Network, Jack Kaiser, Jared Thomas on the call. Sim, I know you'll be out there again. I'm sure you're stoked. I'm sure you got some cold beverages ready for you. But it's going to be another fun one, I think.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I might have a beverage or six. That's that'd be to be determined. But yeah, I just, Rossade under the lights Saturday night. Again, just anxious to see what this team's gonna be able to do, how they handle the success of last week. Hopefully they come out and they put together another good performance that leads to them winning. So that way, we can have another recap episode and it's about us winning, 'cause those are a lot more fun.
A lot more fun. And the weather will be dang near perfect again, so should be
It might
another
actually be kind of
fun.
chilly at night, actually.
Just means you gotta drink more.
Oh, shucks.
But win or lose, we will booze. Win or lose, we will be here to break it all down. Again, 7:30 p.m. start time, Eastern time, under the lights. It'll be fun, man. Can't wait to see how this team comes out after week one. We will be back to break it all down. We'll make sure to interact on all the social media platforms. Again, really enjoyed all of the interactions last week. So looking forward to that again this week. But most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.